Across the country, provinces and even the federal government are looking at the issue of bullying and how it can be addressed. And Alberta's new Education Act, many people feel, is setting the standard. The newly adopted legislation requires that students refrain from, report, and not tolerate bullying or bullying behavior directed toward others in the school, whether or not it occurs within the school building, during the school day, or by electronic means. Some people are saying this tough stand is a good one. But the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada disagrees. We're joined this morning by the author of a report for the Institute, Peter John Mitchell. Good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, Mark.
So let me understand first this legislation in Alberta. What specifically does it do for people who, in the words of the legislation, tolerate bullying? Does this mean bystanders could be implicated in bullying?
Essentially what it's saying is that those students who witness bullying as a bystander, whether that's happening, as you said, at school or whether that's happening after hours or even on the internet, they have a duty to come forward and to report that to the school. And one of the punishments that they could face is a possible suspension. So we think that that's problematic, primarily because of the message that it's sending. And it's essentially saying that adults are no longer present in the lives of kids, particularly online. And that's something I think we've probably known and grappled with for a while, particularly with the cyberbullying issue. It's a difficult one to deal with. It's a difficult one for, I think, educators and parents to get their heads around and how to be helpful on that. But I don't think the new law is, I'm not sure it's going to be effective, but I certainly think it is sending the wrong message.
So it, basically a student could be could face sanctions for not reporting an incident of bullying of which he or she was aware, and you're saying it really shouldn't, we shouldn't be putting the onus on kids, we should be putting the onus on adults.
Certainly I think bullying thrives when parents and adults are not present, and that's one of the reasons why it thrives so much on the internet and internet equipped devices. When bystanders intervene, there is some evidence to suggest that that incident, that particular incident of bullying, rapidly diminishes. So that particular incident might be deferred, might end. But that doesn't necessarily unmake a bully. What's key is healthy adult-child relationships. That's key to ending bullying and to unmaking bullies.
So how do we do that? How do we make that happen through legislation? If we're not going to crack down with tough legislation on the people involved in bullying or the people who tolerate it or the bystanders who don't report it, how do we do that through making sure there's better parenting going on?
Yeah, I think the first thing is to recognize that there is some room for legislation, but generally, or I think that's effective, is creating the guidelines, ensuring that schools have policies, that sort of thing. I think those general initiatives are healthy and are definitely needed. For parents, I think it's essentially parents and teachers taking the initiative and understanding that, particularly for parents, that bullying and that starts at home. And the report that we're releasing today examines just the literature on and the research on how families both make bullies sometimes, how they protect kids from becoming bullies, and how they mediate the long-term effects of being bullied as well. So it's really parents taking some initiative and schools taking some initiative as well. And I think that's been a source of tension sometimes between parents and schools and exactly how that relationship is going to work. You often hear from parents that they are frustrated. They approach the school with a particular incident of bullying has occurred and they don't feel like they're getting satisfactory response. On the flip side, we often have teachers saying that they're not hearing from parents, that schools offer these anti-bullying campaigns, try to encourage parents to participate and get little response. So there has to be some, I think, some forward thinking, maybe some creative thinking in how we can bring parents and educators together to address this issue. Because it is a matter of home environment, it's a matter of school environment, it's a matter of relationship more than anything. And that's a difficult thing to try to legislate.
Now, I know your organization is one that shares the concern of a lot of people that government is too often playing the role of parent in our society, and I understand that point of view. At the same time, I think the expectation that the solution is going to come from parenting creates the risk that in many cases there will be good parents who will follow through on expectations and follow guidelines and help to be part of the solution. But what about when there are parents who don't? How do you ensure 100% participation or compliance? And isn't it in the cases where the parents aren't involved or aren't doing enough that the government needs to step in?
I think that's an interesting question, and I think you're right. There's not always going to be 100% compliance. I think in those cases in particular, where probably the most successful initiatives to unmake bullies probably will happen with other adults, whether that's coaches or whether that's happening in the schools, and that happens through relationship. I'm not entirely sure that it happens through legislating. There is an interesting private members bill in Nova Scotia right now that would hold parents accountable for the cyberbullying of their children, and so parents would be liable for fines and possibly for civil litigation as well. Again, it's just a private members bill, and it's interesting. I think that the issue there might be that our research shows that that parents of bullies tend to be the least knowledgeable about their kids being bullies. In fact, a lot of bully parents don't recognize that their kids are being bullies. And sometimes there has been debate about that type of legislation and whether that causes families to try to be more evasive than to actually try to address the issue. So, yeah, I think you're right. There's always going to be some parents that, and there's always going to be some particular home life situations that are going to be very difficult. And I think, unfortunately, that sort of does fall to other adults to try to navigate that. And often that happens at school where those behavior issues show up.
So what advice do you have for parents who are concerned about their kids being bullied and aren't going to rely on legislation to prevent it from happening or to address it if it does?
Well, again, I hope that, and it is the case in most provinces, that there is legislation that at least creates context and guidelines and sets some standards at schools so that when an incident does happen and kids come forward, that there is action taken, and that's happening across the country. But for particularly for parents, I think it's important to, first of all, to create the kind of home environment where kids feel safe and feel connected to their parents. And so there's a lot of research that shows in terms of parenting style, creating an environment that's warm, that's caring, that communication flows both ways, with sufficient supervision, clear expectations and limits, that this is a healthy environment for helping kids move towards becoming autonomous adults. And so there's even research that shows that when kids are victims of bullying, when they have a secure sort of family environment that allows to sort of mediate some of those long-term harmful effects as well. And the other thing that parents probably need to be thinking about is just the prevalence of media use and how internet-equipped devices are used. We know that kids don't come to heavy media use on their own. Quite often, parents are modeling heavy use and heavy, on the iPhone quite a bit and that sort of thing. We know that homes where fewer media devices are used, there tends to be more guidelines, and we know that parents are more intentional about media use in homes. They tend to have more familiarity with the type of media that they have and are more likely to encourage alternative activities. So certainly, particularly with mobile devices, we can't necessarily know where kids are online all the time, but certainly while they're within the home, we can certainly have some guidelines and have some healthy conversations.
All right, Peter John Mitchell, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me on, Mark.